We turn to the chapter which we read in the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, and we shall read again verses 11 and 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Walking worthy of God. That is a great matter for us. And it searches us, does it not, when we consider the implications of such words. For us who are unworthy by nature and ever shall be before God, should walk worthy of God. And this is what Paul and his companions were exhorting the believers in Thessalonica to be doing, and that by the grace of God. We find the apostle recalling the time he spent in Thessalonica, his ministry there, and it had been a very fruitful one. We see that from the opening verse of our chapter. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. It was not empty. It achieved by the blessing of God the desire of our hearts when we came among you, that there would be those who would come to Christ and obtain salvation and then walk with God. That was our prayer when we preached to you, taught you the things of God, that the Lord would bless his word. And the Lord blessed it indeed. And it was through the preaching of the gospel that blessing came to Thessalonica. Paul and his companions were put in trust with the gospel, as he says in verse 4. They had a real heart for sinners, and especially for those who by God's grace repented of their sin, trusting in Jesus Christ. He says in verse 7, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. That surely is the way, the gospel way, how ministers should conduct themselves, not berating the people, threatening the people, faithful to the word, preaching the gospel, yet as one sinner to another, having the same need themselves of God's mercy, God's pardon, sympathetic, charitable, gentle among you. And they did not spare themselves. Verse 9, ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. And he would even call the believers in Thessalonica to witness. And indeed, the Lord himself to witness. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And so he prefaces the remarks in our text with these things by way of explanation, by way of reminding them how he and his fellow laborers came into their midst. And what we have in the text is the real burden of their ministry. And it must be the burden of all true gospel ministers, that those they preach to should walk worthy of God. But what does that mean? It is worth considering, and we trust that as we do so, we will be challenged ourselves concerning our walk, and stirred up by God's grace to walk more closely with our God. The first thing we are to consider is the plea. The plea we have in verse 11. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children. That is the way in which he addressed them when he was among them, in connection with this walking worthy of God. It was a plea. It was a heartfelt one. It came from a spiritual father to his spiritual children, but it was one that was earnest and one that was serious. When Paul was in Thessalonica, he did indeed behave himself in this fatherly manner. We're speaking in spiritual terms. Through the gospel, sinners are born again. They're begotten again by the Holy Spirit. And in union with Jesus Christ, there is the blessing of being justified right with God through the righteousness of Christ. But there is more. There is the adoption of God. He has children, and he takes them into his family. And God himself is a father to his own. And so it is fitting that Paul and his fellow laborers looked upon the believers in Thessalonica as the children of God, and in a sense, their children, because through the gospel they preached, and the teaching they gave. These dear believers were encouraged as the children of God and exhorted as the children of God to walk worthy of God. And the words used in verse 11 are strong words. To exhort is to entreat. There's a pleading there. It's coming with urgency. It's coming from men of God who know the truth of God and the reality of sin, but also the wonder of grace. And if we read the scriptures and read them carefully, we understand surely that when God blesses a sinner with pardon for his sin, that is not the end. We're not left in the same condition we were in by nature, a sinful, corrupt heart, that nature which is enmity against God. The new birth speaks of a new nature, The heart itself is made new by God's mighty grace. And from that heart, by God's Spirit, there is a genuine faith in God, a lively faith, and there is a desire for God to be in His presence, and there is a love for God. And in that love, the sense of the calling to follow the Lord and to walk in all the ways of God. Paul entreated these believers and comforted them. That has the sense of encourage. Holiness of life, not something that can be imparted by man. If it is, it's not true holiness. It comes from God, entirely by His grace. And yet the way in which God is pleased to work that grace is through entreaty. And it is through comfort, encouragement. We have in the Word examples of sincere believers, Old Testament and New. And God would point us to them. And He would say to us here today, look at these my people. Look at them from the beginning when I first revealed my saving grace in the Gospel. Look at them through the generations. Look at them, even in the time when mine own beloved Son came into the world to die for His people. See them when I raised up apostles and sent them forth to minister my word, the word concerning Jesus Christ, near and far. And we are bound then to look at the godly we discover in the Bible and learn from them. And we see their faults too. And we see how prone they were to sin, even as the children of God. And we find that when we view them as they are revealed, we are encouraged because they were not perfect, and we know that we are certainly not perfect. We're always stumbling along the way. We're always faltering in our walk, and how we need strength and to be crying to the Lord for that. But also the encouragement to know that those who went before were flesh and blood, just as we are. Yet they called on God and waited upon the Lord. And they learned from the Word. And they were held up. So they persevered in their walk. And above all, we are encouraged when we consider Christ. His walk was perfect in every way. But we are encouraged when we look to Christ because we know that it is in Christ, in union with Him, and hand in hand with Him alone that we are able to walk worthy of God. There's a lifting up, an enabling strength, a guiding hand in the Lord Jesus. And so we are encouraged when we look unto Jesus. We're encouraged to believe that we shall be able to persevere, to get to the end of our course, even in the midst of tribulation, great opposition, and all the cunning wiles of the devil. And we know that of ourselves, we are no match for these foes. But in Christ, that is our position, and we must always remember that, by the grace of God, through faith, in Christ, we shall endure to the end and be saved. And they charged the Thessalonians, Paul and his companions. And that word has the idea of testimony. Testimony. Paul and his fellow laborers bore testimony to the believers concerning the scriptures, but no doubt also concerning their own experience. And that is a blessing when we can hear from other Christians something of the account that they have to give of what it has been and is now for them to walk with God. And we will find from our fellow saints the like temptations and trials. And if they have a testimony of how the Lord came to them when they were in difficulty, when they were perhaps feeling as though they were sinking, then that will encourage us. It will persuade us to continue with Christ when we may be nigh unto fainting and turning away. Living the Christian life, we may learn how to do that from God's word, but it is good to learn it also from those who by God's grace follow that word and have done so over many years and have a good confession, a good testimony. We can learn so much from the Lord's people who've gone before us and left us a good example. We have then the obligation, first the plea, then the obligation, and it is this, that ye would walk worthy of God. We desire that you would do that, and we entreat you to do that, and we would encourage you to do that, even as we seek to do the same. And what of this word worthy? Walking worthy of God. It would bear the sense of suitable or appropriate. You believers there in Thessalonica, this is what we have ever sought that you would be doing, as we seek to do it ourselves, that you would walk in a way that becomes the fact that you are God's adopted children. Remember your status. Remember the dignity of it. Remember the great change that has taken place when you were in your sin. You were children of the devil. And that is how you walked. Sin after sin after sin. Walking in the darkness of unbelief. Walking in the ways of evil. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came to you in the gospel, when his Spirit entered your heart, when you were born again, you began to walk in another direction. Such was the change that you left the broad way that you were on and you entered upon the narrow way. That is fitting for the people of God, those who confess the God of Scripture to be their God. He is the Holy One. Jesus Christ is the Holy Son of God and the Holy Savior. And God's people are bound to have holiness as their great concern while they're in this world, in the time that remains to them. And to know that we are God's children is another incentive to walk uprightly, to be careful about our walk, to abstain from every appearance of evil, to shun all the works of darkness and cast them off, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our vows are upon us, and spiritual fruit must be seen in us. Now we find in Scripture various practical things concerning the walk of God's children, those who would walk worthy of God. First and foremost, we are to walk in faith. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, that they were to be walking by faith, not by sight. You cannot walk by sight as a Christian. The natural sight that we have, because that means looking at the world. And there's nothing in the world to help you as a Christian. And what you see may be very deceiving. It's spiritual sight that matters. And faith is spiritual sight. And you look into the Word of God and you see wonderful things. You see heavenly things. Above all, you see Jesus Christ, how he walked when he was upon this earth. And you, by grace, endeavor to follow him. Because you believe in him as Lord and Savior, though the world may reject him, you trust in him, in his all-sufficiency for your salvation, to save and to keep, even though the world does not see or know such a Christ. Walk in faith. And walk in truth. The Apostle John could say that he had no greater joy than that his children walked in truth. Spiritual children walking in God's way, guided by the light of the Word. Dear friends, it is a light that shineth in a dark place. And the dark place is this world. And the dark place is your heart and my heart by nature. And we need the shining of God's Word in our hearts and minds, that we might walk in the light of God's truth. Only the truth will do. Satan will suggest to you his lies. The great lie is this: you can have Christ and salvation, you can have heaven, But you can have the world too. You can taste this and that. Try this and that. There's no harm in these things. And you only need to have a little of them. And of course, it never ends there. If you go after these things, then it's betraying the fact that there is still a carnal nature, a carnal appetite, but it will never be satisfied. And wisdom requires that we put away these things, that we do not seek our pleasure, joy, satisfaction in these things. We will not find it. The joy of the Christian, the Christian's contentment is in Christ, the whole Christ, God and man, mediator, redeemer, saviour, friend, prophet, priest and king. He is everything to his people. He is all that they need. He will never make them ashamed. And he is the good shepherd. And we follow him. We follow his steps. And in that way, we walk worthy, appropriately, as the children of God. Also, to walk in love, to walk in love, in Ephesians chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. By the love of Christ, the redeeming love of Christ, we have grace, we have strength, we have a motive to walk with God, to walk worthy of God, and that means to walk in love. When we would ask ourselves the question, do we love God? Do we love God as we ought to love God? There's only one answer we can give, and it is no. In that I come short too. I know that I do love him, but I know that I ought to love him more. When I think of my Saviour, his selflessness, his sacrifice, the way in which he was determined to go to Jerusalem, knowing what awaited him there, betrayal, the arrest, the trial, the scourging, the crucifixion, the agony of Calvary, the wrath of God, the desolation. How poor and how feeble is my love for God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. All for more love, and a more sincere love. And the more sincere our love to Christ is, the more we will be walking worthy of God. We will desire, as Christ himself did, to be doing always those things that please God. God our Father, even as we are his dear children. Then we have the end, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now there's encouragement there. The word call, who hath called you. And that is not the call of the gospel only, which comes to so many and is ignored. This is the effectual call. This is the power of divine grace. This is the call that we hear in the depths of our being, like Levi of old, and we rise up and we follow Christ. That's the beginning. But the call is ever there, and we are to be hearing it continually. It is a call to holiness, that holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And the call is one that effects what is in that call. If we're called to holiness, then grace is given that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. That does not mean that we simply sit back in the Christian life and take our ease. On our part, there has to be the reading of the Word, meditation upon what it contains, prayer, fervent prayer, repentance, striving against sin, wrestling, fighting the good fight of faith. In that way, the Lord, working his grace, will reveal in his people the fruit of the Spirit. Christ said to the disciples, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bring forth much fruit, that much fruit be born in your lives as my disciples, an evidence that you are mine. You are branches in me, true vine. Only in Christ can we walk worthy of God." And all we feel is how unworthy we are. That the Lord should ever have looked upon us, taken pity upon us, that Jesus Christ should ever died for our sin, and that we were brought to him, to follow him, and to follow him all the way to a glorious eternity, God's kingdom and glory. That is the end for God's people. To behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. To see it firstly here by faith, and then to see it there in heaven by sight. Christians have a purpose in life. They have a destiny to which they are headed. And so it becomes them to walk worthy of God. That is to his glory and for the good of his cause. It speaks to the world. It is also surely our desire. And by grace, may the Lord enable us more and more to walk worthy of his name. May he bless his word. Let us pray. O most blessed God, we do acknowledge our sin unto thee in the way of commission and omission, the things we do that we ought not to do, and the things that we leave undone that we should be doing. And our prayer is, wilt thou enable us more and more to be leaving sin and all that pertains to sin behind, and laying hold of Christ more firmly, and enjoying that which is in Christ, even the enabling grace to put on Christ and to reveal that fruit which testifies of a saving union and is a token to us of the sure promise of everlasting glory for those who walk with Christ here. Watch over us then, and deliver us from all evil, for Jesus' sake. Amen.